Can you remember a time when I was Searching for you, you think I'm see the worship. John said, this is the foundation of my church. Worship is the foundation. When you enter into the heavenly realm, God can begin to reveal everything that he has for you. So this morning, your hearts, I believe, have been overwhelmed with the worship and the praise from these fine worship people.
Hallelujah.
Well, tithe message is something that I enjoy doing because I'm not a part of any of the financial gain from it, but I'm here to share with you what God wants to do for you today. And I want to read from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 29. This is a Message translation. If you go one more slide, please, can you get to the next one? You know, that's 28. Let me have my Bible, this one scripture I read last week and it really stood out, and you can go to chapter 6 to read it in notes, but I think the Message Bible is very profound. It says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never ever seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Relax. To not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And what stood out is that we need to relax. We are in a society that's preoccupied with getting. We have become kind of brainwashed. It's eroded our understanding of the need to give because we're always trying to acquire and give. You know, it's amazing how much stuff we acquire. And when you see that God is interested in giving, he's a giving God.
That's right.
You know, that's good news. You know, God's a giver and he wants to give to you and show you how to trust him. He will always provide something for you. He's never going to leave you. It says in 2 Peter 1:3 that God will give us everything that pertains unto this life, and also he'll make us godly in this. So you can count on God supplying to you. You know, when you look at your needs that you have now, your bills, and your future needs, you tend to think of in terms of how can I pay them instead of thinking that God is my source and my provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's, you know, consider this, and then come to know that God will supernaturally, miraculously, and unexpectedly many times provide for you what you need. You know, his provisions is there to meet every need that we have. I don't think we realize that. I think we think about ourselves too much, like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to get there and do this? Where God already has it figured out. He's already got your provision waiting. He loves to give to us. Amen. He loves us so much that he wants to give to us. Yes. He wants to give to us. Now, he's come up with a very ingenious way, and I think it's a very gracious way. And he says, look, you tithe. You give 10% of what your income is, 10% of what your increase is, and through that, he says, I'll establish everything for you financially. Now, you've got to learn to trust God. You've got to see that, you know, this is how he works. I've been living in this for years. And there are times I've struggled, you know. But we made a decision, even when we didn't have enough money, when whatever came in, we lined up our bills, and we paid that 10% at first, and then we divvied everything else out, and we've never been without. In fact, God has increased us over the years. So you have to learn to trust God. There was a girl, an orphan in World War II. I like this story. After the bombing and everything, there were a lot of orphans and they didn't have any food. And this one little girl, they give her a piece of bread to eat, and she wouldn't eat it, and they didn't understand why. And she said if she ate it, she was afraid she wouldn't have any more. So they had to give her another piece of bread to hold in the other hand so she would eat. And sometimes we're holding on to things, and you know, because we're afraid we're not going to have. Well, I'm here to say that God, He's the bread of life, and He's putting that bread in your hand today. He's got something for you at all times. So you need to test God. You need to see how He's going to do this for you. Now, those of you that are tithers, you understand this. Those of you that haven't experienced that yet or are not tithing, you need to step into this and start showing your trust in God and your faith and belief that God will supply that need. And when you begin to do that, God begins to move. He begins to arrange the circumstances in your life. There's two single mothers here today. Maria, Liz. You know how tough it is, a single mom in today's society, making it. I mean, it's hard. God has just arranged supernaturally the circumstances for each one of them to buy a house. Unexpectedly. I mean, come on. Connect group, you ought to go there. It's powerful. If you're not in a Connect group, sign up and go. You'll get so blessed and fed. But Wednesday nights in Stewart, there's other nights, but we've got Connect group cards. See one of the ushers later and get one. But when I heard this testimony about Maria, she said, "I was just renting, and then God arranged this and that, and all of a sudden I've got this house and the down payment. It's miraculous." So they're faithful tithers too. I know they give in spite of the struggles and the hard things they faced. They were givers. They were givers. And so God opened this up. So God is there for you. God will provide for you. So just relax. Give your 10% and see God move. And even when you increase your seed sown, when you give more, you'll see God will increase that. And that's what's happening. That's what's happened in my life, and that's what happens in those that have heard the testimony. So,
that's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Just let God speak to you today and give into the kingdom and see it multiply back into your life. Amen.
Amen.
So, we're going to, we've got a song. Back up. Rewind. Ways to give. We've got envelopes on the seats that you can fill out. You've also got online you can give by text, or you can mail it in. Just make your checks to CFC, and that will take care of it. Amen. So now, we've got a special song to bless you today from Kathleen, and she's going to come forward and sing for us. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, church family. Just a little quick preface. I was downstairs in my house one night. I had lost my son in a car accident. My husband walked out on me. I had very little money in the bank, and I was feeling very low. And my daughter, Leah, was here this morning. She came downstairs, and she said, "Mom, you got to listen to this song." And I always had a sound system set up in my house, so she played the song. I said, "Leah, play it again." And she played it again. I said, "Leah, play it again." We played it. By the fifth time, I was a new person. I had put my stake in the ground, and I said, "I am not going to be defeated. I am not going to be defeated. I'm going to keep going on. Though He would slay me, yet will I praise Him." Letting go of every single dream,
Discouragement is something that we all face. Doesn't matter how successful you are, we all face discouragement at some point or another. And I want to help you, instead of being discouraged, how you can be encouraged, how to encourage yourself in the Lord. It's going to be a powerful sermon, and I really hope you'll be there. If you want to know how to overcome discouragement, don't miss next Sunday. Now today, we have a very special guest, very good, dear friend of ours. We've known this man for over 25 years. We've known him when we were living in South Africa. He's now in San Antonio, Texas. He comes and ministers at our church every year. We love him so much. a prophet, Ed Trout, is going to be ministering today. And if you don't know, if this is the first time that you've ever seen Ed Trout. Ed Trout is a New Testament prophet. He stands in the office of a prophet, and God uses him in an amazing way to prophesy over individuals. And I mean, he has such an amazing gift from the Lord. I've never seen anybody that prophesies with the accuracy and the detail that Ed Trout does. And so I know you're in for a great time today. We wish we could be there. We're sorry we're missing this wonderful service today. But thank you for being at our church again. Ed, we love you so much. And everyone, I want you to please give a big welcome. Welcome, Ed Trout.
Children and nine grandchildren. My mother exiled the Holocaust. She was a child born in Germany, and her and her parents got on a refugee ship that brought them to Southern Africa, where I was born. So I got saved when I was 13. I gave my heart to Jesus because of a child evangelist coming to our school. I thank God for that. So I'm what's known as a born-again Jewish African American. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Hallelujah. I pastored for a long time. God called me to ministry as a young man. I was very on fire for the Lord. And I was called prophetic ministry, and very much against my wishes. I didn't like the prophetic at all. I didn't know what it was, and it was just too strange to me. And I was, I'm very Jewish, and I have a Jewish wit or a sense of humor. And it's always been offensive to some people, not everybody, but some people find my humor offensive. And I've tried to tone it down as hard as I can. In fact, I've had people pray for me to get delivered from it. Really. I was young in the Lord, young in ministry. I had some pastor's wives gather around me to set me free, and for a frivolous spirit, and I coughed it and out and came, and then when they left me, it came back seven times stronger. I'm still very humorous. I'm full of joy. The Lord is good to me and kind to me, and the longer I've known Him, the more I love Him. I'm grateful that I'm born again and saved, and I know that I'm going to heaven. But that is so small compared to the immense joy that I experience every day walking with Him. He's such a friend, a Lord and Savior. If you're not enjoying His company, Him as a person, you're missing out on life itself. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy even conversation with Him. We've had arguments. I haven't won any, but we've had many arguments. When I was young in the Lord, He told me that Him and I were incompatible. We couldn't get along, and He wasn't changing. So I found myself in a difficult situation. And throughout life, we've had many conversations, and our conversations have changed to a place of very sweet things. And recently, the Lord told me how that He loves the gray years. And I asked Him what that was. He says, all your life you're chasing something. And when you get to the gray years of your life, you're not chasing romance, cars, family, riches. You just have time for me. And I look forward to that time of your life, that chapter that I can fellowship with you. So God loves the gray hairs, and they're special to the Lord. And you two, and of course, women don't have gray hairs. They make sure they change the color of that. I can't change any colors. I don't have any to change. Mine's all skin color. Hallelujah. You know, women go through a lot of trouble to make themselves attractive. I've never seen a man put makeup on, or, well, today's things have changed, but generally, men don't do much trouble to look a certain way. It's women that go through enormous. I have a wife and three girls, so I've watched them with makeup and clothes, and they go which way to look attractive. They want to be attractive and appealing to a man, or to the, when they're courting and looking for men, they want to be attractive. Well, we can be attractive to God too. I noticed throughout the Bible, throughout the Word, that there are things we can do to attract God to us. And I've seen examples of people throughout the Word that God doesn't favor one more than the other. That He doesn't prefer one person to the other. He loves everybody, but He's attracted to certain people clearly and done special things for them. Which is something they did, He was very impressed or touched by something they did. And I want to share that with you today because you have so many difficulties. You always have some challenge going on. Let me make it clear to you. Jesus prophesied over you, the Lord Jesus did, and He said, in this world you will have many troubles. Not some, not few. You will have many troubles. Don't be shocked, don't be surprised by your troubles. They are always there. We all have them, different ones. Nobody's excluded. Life will always bring you challenges. The difference for a Christian is that we have someone to lean on. We have someone to run to, and He promises to make all things work together for good according to His purpose for those that love Him. Those that love Him can have this expectancy, no matter how tragic our life is, He makes good comfort.
Amen.
What a wonderful promise that is. Now, so if you have notes, I'm going to start giving you some of the things in the Word of God that I've learned that are attractive to the Lord. First of all, our heart and attitude. Men look on the outside, but God looked on the inside. God looks for things on the inside. And James tells us if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, He will lift you. God resists proud people and He lifts the humble. Now, trying to make yourself humble is really a challenge. One time I asked God to humble me and I never, ever did that again. It was a frightening experience when God worked me over. So I said, don't humble me next time. Just tell me and I'll work on it myself. But I found as I've gotten older how to promote humility in your heart, and I see it's coupled to thankfulness. We in America have a Thanksgiving Day, which I'm so grateful for. No other country has a Thanksgiving Day that I'm aware of. And we especially designed in our nation to give God thanks for what He has done. To stop, not just eat pumpkin pie and turkey, but to give thanks to God. And giving thanks or being thankful is a whole way of life. And it will introduce you or open up doors in the spirit dimension you cannot dream possible. You enter His courts, the Bible says, with thanksgiving. Now, let me tell you, thankfulness is an attitudinal stuff or mindset, is to put aside constant whining. You know, I tell my children when they always tell me things that are making them uncomfortable, unhappy, I always tell them, don't tell me what you don't have, tell me what you do have. Let's recite, let's go through all the things that you are blessed in. We in America are extremely blessed, but we always got something to moan and whine about. Here in America, when I came to America the first time, I was shocked to see how many shoes people had. 20 and 30 pairs of shoes. In Africa, where I came from, we had three were doing really well. Three pairs of shoes, one black, one brown, and one casual. That was good. You were doing well. But here they have so many, and we had garage sales on the roadside, and it has clothes hanging there with tags on it. For a dollar, people buy clothes and sales, and there's so much in abundance. You need to go around the world and see how little people have. We complain about the job or the car we have, but we have a job and we have a car. A lot of people just don't have that their whole life through. They struggle to survive throughout the world, and we just think it's all our status quo in order to have it. But we should be very grateful for all that we do have.
Amen.
Yeah. Just stop and tell you this, that we ought to be grateful also for our president.
Amen.
And if you find it offensive, I'm sorry, I don't want to cause you to stumble or be hurt. But I heard the Lord a couple of years ago that we would have this president that we have now. And it was an actual response of God to the pockets of prayer of people interceding for this nation for God to give us a breakthrough spiritually. We needed to have someone that would stand up for righteousness somehow, some way. That would not be afraid of people that would come against him. The Lord told me that he'd be renowned or put down in history books as one of the greatest presidents in the last 100 years. That's how much impact he's making and going to make. So I really want you not to see me as a political person speaking here, but rather spiritual, that God is responding because he wants to bring an awakening to this nation. I stand here today as a result of the United States of America, who have always had the move of God, and that sent a man in the turn of the 19th century to South Africa called John G. Lake. And he began a movement called the Apostolic Faith Mission. Pastor Steve and I and all these other that you meet from Africa are results of this great move of God. And it came and started right here in the United States, sent and sponsored by America. So God's sending us back to bring life to this nation. In the last 20 years, there's been such a rapid decline in morals, in spiritual standard. People have become cold and distant. and immune. We become reconditioned. Our Bibles are not what brings us our standards anymore. It is Hollywood. They decide what our morals should be. Every decade, they change our minds and prepare us and sear our consciences with watching. So you've got to watch your diet. Which is, you know, we have 600 TV channels available to us in the States and nothing to watch. Come on now. You go past any cluster of theaters, movie theaters, and it's always packed. You cannot find parking anywhere. If you come to the church, we may not go longer than an hour and a half or 2 hours at the very max. People get offended, but they get there early to buy tickets and get very expensive popcorn and watch all the junk previews and then spend time afterwards and they leave 3 hours gone. But don't you dare do more than an hour and a half, 2 hours in church. If then we're not coming back. So it just tells us the spiritual climate. Now God's responding, and there's an awakening that's already begun in this nation. So you must expect God to awaken all the people of God. Because while men slept, the enemy sowed seeds. We are not a Muslim country. And if you think I've been politically incorrect, good. Because we are Christians. Just we can look at your money. It doesn't say in Allah we trust, in God we trust. Everything about our nation is Christian. Everything. We pledge allegiance to the flag. One nation under God. Yeah, we honor the Lord. And it's because of that God has blessed the United States of America the way He has. We put back what's rightfully God's and give God the honor and glory in this nation. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Thank you very much. But there's going to be an awakening in the church. And the Lord has warned me that the church will look very powerful, but half of it will not be a real church. They'll have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So my immediate response to him recently was, well, I suppose they won't have miraculous and supernatural happening in their church. I said, no, even the devil can counterfeit healings and miracles.
That's right, that's right.
But the real power of God, and was such an enlightenment to me, is the changing of a person's life and heart.
Amen.
Yeah. Nobody can change a person like the Holy Spirit. Nobody. Amen. The transforming power of God, when you give your life to the Lord, He transforms everything. All things are past and you become a new creation. There is nothing like it. Nothing. It's the most amazing experience of your life. And so that's the real power of God. And expect that. You're way too excited in this room. Take it down a notch. Thank you so much. All right. So when we humble ourselves before God, when we take on that attitude, we can expect God to lift us up. No matter what mistakes we've made, how much sin is in our lives, if we humble ourselves before God, there's no other conditions, He lifts us up. Humility causes God to want to pick you up. He's attracted to people that have humbled their hearts. And thankfulness is also a great attraction to the Lord because you enter His courts with thanksgiving. In fact, God repels people that are ungrateful. Hophni and Phinehas were ungrateful. They didn't want just the portion that was allotted to them by the fork in the cauldron. They wanted to pick it before there was any kind of cauldron or the sacrifice was made. They wanted the best of the best. They were not satisfied with what God allotted to them. And God did not like it. He killed them. He didn't want them. He dealt with them very severely because of it. The second thing that attracts God, which is like a magnet to the Lord, is faith. As old as I've become in the Lord, I've learned it's not how we behave or how righteous we think we are that attracts God. No, it's actually our faith. God is drawn to faith and responds to faith. When you have a need, no matter how much you beg, scream and shout, and or to all the patterns of prayer, unless you have faith, no mountain will move. God responds to faith. A woman came to Jesus who had a sick child. She wasn't even a Christian. She wasn't even a Jewess. She had no right whatsoever. In fact, Jesus said to her, why would I give to the dogs what belongs to the children? And she responded, even the dogs get the crumbs. What she was saying was, there's enough left over for us heathens of your supernatural power. That's enough. And he was so marveled at her faith that that instant the child was healed, even though it wasn't her right. So faith really moves God. Abraham was counted righteous because of his faith. People say he was a good man. I don't think so. God told him, clearly, do not take your father-in-law with you. So he did. That's clear defiance, disobedience to me. He lies about his wife. He says it's not his wife, it's sister, and that's the other guy's sin with it. I mean, it's awful the way things he does, yet God counted him righteous because he really believed what God said. Faith really impresses God. In fact, Hebrews 11 tells us it's impossible to please God. without faith. It's impossible. If you don't have faith, no matter how well you live or good things you do, you'll never please God. He'll never attract Him to you. He's attracted the people that really believe Him, not just pretend to believe, not hope, not act, but really believe from their hearts. You're excited, I know you are. The third thing that attracts God, the most fascinating thing that attracts God, is generosity. There was a man called Cornelius in Acts 10. This man wasn't a Christian, and he wasn't a Jew either. He was a Roman centurion. But the Bible says in Acts 10 that he gave generously and prayed regularly. And he was so attracted to God that God sent an angel to him. I don't know how many of you had an angel visitation, but he did. Now he was so nervous and frightened, he was all fearful. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. Your giving, your generosity, and your prayers have reached God as a memorial offering." Now, God wants this man to get saved or born again, and he doesn't say, "Go to Peter's meeting." He says, "Get Peter to come to your house. You're that special to me. You found such favor because of your giving. I want you to get Peter to come to you." So let me tell you that that's very attractive to God. So I pondered on that generosity, and we heard about tithing today. You know, I'm from a Jewish family, so when I talk to the Goyim or the Gentiles, I always laugh at them because they struggle with tithing. We in America struggle with tithing because you've been caught in a trap by the devil in America, financially. Besides being divorced and having to support two different homes, besides that, there's no country in the world that sends you a credit card you can ask for repeatedly until you finally take that sticker off and activate the card and spend money you don't have on things you didn't need, and you still have that credit card you thought you could pay off at a very exorbitant interest rate because you keep hoping next month will be paid off. And you've been years and years been servicing a very high interest rate that you should have been giving to God with. It's stealing your money because of lack of wisdom and pressure situations in your life. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Now tithing, God doesn't need your money. God can make manna fall from heaven. Let me tell you the truth. As a father talks to his children, I would tell my children exactly the same thing. God doesn't need your money. He gave seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he gave you a tithe already. The tithe you have, he gave to you to give back to him. And it's an act of obedience. If you can't obey God with a simple, ungodly mammon, you'll never obey God with spiritual principles. Now, it's not a New Testament or an Old Testament principle. It's before even Testaments began. Abraham initiated tithing along with his faith. He believed God and was counted righteous, and he initiated tithing himself. And that pleased God because it's a spiritual principle. When you do what you put aside to give to God, God honors that. Let me tell you, when I pastored the church, I told people that struggled to tithe, that it was such a struggle for them by faith. I said, don't give the whole tithe, but give a portion of it. What you can feel you're comfortable with right now, start giving something. If you give nothing, you'll have nothing. And it grows. Before you know, my experience 100% of the times was within a short time, they were giving the whole time and prospering. Yeah. Because you've got to put that seed. It's for your own benefit, not for God's. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
If you're going to calculate whether it's gross or net, keep it. God doesn't need you to be that petty and silly about kind of giving to God. You can't outgive Him anyway. He's a generous God. I'm a living testimony that God is not poor, broke, or cheap. The life of Jesus wasn't poor. He didn't drive a used vehicle, not Jesus. He drove a brand new donkey. Nobody ever used that mule. It could smell the leather, was that mule. He didn't buy his clothes at Macy's or Dillard's. He had a garment woven just for himself. Woven. When he needed money, he didn't go try and raise an offering or fundraising. He sent Peter to the fish to find a coin. How bizarre is that? A coin and a fish. Can you imagine Peter's face like, yeah, that happens to me all the time. I find coins. No, it was a total, and God took the coins and the fish just for you. Waiting for your time that you will put your faith in motion and He'll do it for you. I'm telling you, God's not broken for a fee. The key that the Spirit opened up to my heart was not just the giving, it was the generosity. And I began to realize in America, we really have a culture of giving through tipping. We automatically put in our minds a certain amount of money aside when we have to go to restaurants or check in at the luggage. Whatever we do, cutting our hair, whatever we do, we put aside a certain tip. Anybody working for us, we tip. It's out of our, part of our culture. And it's so easy to spill that culture over to the church and start putting tips into the offering and thinking it's okay. But the sacrifice of giving is holy to God. God is enthralled with the amount of sacrifice involved in your giving. If you're not feeling the hurt when you're giving, you haven't really given by faith. David said, I will not give to God, which costs me nothing. So when you talk about generosity, you're giving more than's expected of you. If that's what I would imagine, if he was giving generously to the poor. And I imagine a poor person that would expect a $10 or even a few coins sitting next to the road begging, but imagine putting a $100 note in there and the shock in their lives. I mean, people react and respond very fast. Money changes everything. It answers all things, as the proverb says. Money answers all things. So, moving on from that. Now, next thing that will attract God to you is your prayer and your seeking, your whole attitude, wanting God. God wants to be wanted. If you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. It is your effort that you go after God. You have to take coming together in this building, in this hotel, seriously. You must take it seriously because God does. He talks about the gathering, where two or three gather. They must gather, not just over the internet. They must gather in their midst. I will be with them. And don't neglect the gathering of the saints. There's a power in the gathering for a purpose. When we gather for God, we want everything to drive through and fast. But if you gather here with one purpose, you can expect God to do something for you. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
All right. Whew. A lot of faces I don't recognize at all. Of course, there's not much I travel to. I can't believe I know everybody anyway. So get your hearts ready. We'll prophesy in a few minutes. So ask the Lord. If you need something for the Lord, ask Him. I'm very willing as a servant to convey His message. Now, it says there, you wash your hands, your sinners, and purify your hearts. You don't mind come near to God. You draw near to the Lord. He's going to want to be with you. You seek Him. Lamentations says that if we, He's good to them that crave Him. If we crave Him, He will want to be with us. He wants to be wanted. God wants to be wanted. He's not looking for perfect people. If we were good, wonderful Christians, He wouldn't have needed to die on the cross. It's because we were rotten, total, terrible failures without Him. That's why He gave us an easy way out. What an amazing salvation. There's not one religion that offers you a salvation like that. Islam, you have to die, blow yourself up, and you get 20 wives in heaven. That's what they promise you. What a shock they're going to have. And so they go through all that horrible sacrifice, and it's true. It's true. You know, someone asked me in Australia once, he said, how do I know what you're preaching is true? So I said, well, this is my answer to you. If what I'm preaching is not true, there is no God, Christianity is not real, and you follow this Christian walk, you become a Christian, you do this life, you've lived a fabulous, happy, trouble-free life. But if you, and if you die, you've lost nothing. But if this is real what I'm preaching, and you don't follow it, you lose everything. There's no risk involved. It either way, you win. Because being a Christian is such a happy life. I live on a constant high. I don't need drugs or alcohol or anything to make me happy. I have a constant joy every day in my life. And I've been through it just like you. I've been through all kinds of difficulties. But the joy of God, you've got nothing that I could possibly want because I'm so satisfied in Him. He's a wonderful Savior. He loves you so much. There are not enough words in any language to tell you how much He loves you. You cannot do anything to stop Him loving you. He's more excited about you than you yourself. Are you hearing me? He didn't give you some of what He had. He gave you all He had. You to die for. Not one angel of all the millions of angels He made were so perfect and wonderful were worth saving. But you, all your messed upness, He died for you. Not for an angel. You're worth more than an angel.
Amen.
Worth something. Worth a lot. Worth the life of His Son. That's quite some love, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right. So, when you pray and seek Him, God will respond to you. And you, Jeremiah says, you seek God with all your heart, He'll be found of you. And on the many scriptures I can quote, but I'm going to move this fast. Another attribute that attracts God, like a magnet, is obedience. David was attractive to God. He looked for someone with his own heart. And I looked at David's life and I thought, what could you possibly find attractive or call him a man after your own heart? This is a man that has his eighth child and we don't know who his mother was. He's red-haired. What a strange-looking Jew he was. He was a throwback that his own father didn't see any validity in him. His brothers didn't like him. He had a personality they didn't like. And then he had a problem with women. He had 300 wives and concubines and he willingly, knowingly invited a married woman to his room. What were you thinking? Why would you do that? It wasn't a moment of weakness. He invited her. He said, wait for her to come. And then he slept with her and makes her pregnant and has her husband killed. And God says, man, it's my own heart. I'm like, really, God? What could you possibly like about him? And he was not a good father. His son is full of rebellion and anger, trying to bring his father down. And when they cut his head off, he grieves so long that the captain says, if you don't stop this, we're going to leave you. They got tired of his grieving over this. Absalom was wicked. And so he was a really messed up man, but God said, a man after my own heart. Because in Acts 13:22, it says, after removing Saul as king, God gave him David. So that he's testifying, I found David, a man after my own heart, because he will do everything I ask. I said, I do everything you ask. God says, don't even hear half the things you don't do them. And I found out we as people will do whatever God says if it suits us. Yeah. If I prophesied each one of you should give $1,000 in the offering, you'd break out in a sweat and would need God to confirm it. But if I prophesied you're supposed to go to Hawaii on vacation for a week, you wouldn't want a confirmation. You'd go instantly and say, it's God's word, because it suits your flesh. The things we want to hear and things we just cannot hear. And David was a man that did everything he even thought God was saying. And God was looking for that. God was looking for someone that will just do what he says. And we've got to cultivate a lifestyle and a frame of mind to obey God. You can't ever make a mistake obeying God. Even if you made a mistake and misheard God, but with the right heart, he'll still bless you. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
All right. Another thing that attracts God is worship. Worshipers. God's attracted people that worship him. He's the only thing he's looking for. That's what Jesus said. There's coming a time that they worship him and worship him in spirit and in truth. Now let me tell you, how good the music is up here. Thank God for them. And thank God for those that set up this whole auditorium and come earlier than 4:30 in the morning. I mean, there's a lot of work in here. Thank you very much for doing that, guys. It's a lot of sacrifice. No matter how much they sing and well they sing and how good the songs are, I don't know any of the songs they sang this morning, I never heard them before, but even if I knew the all well-known songs, I could never be a worshiper just singing, because if I'm not a worshiper at home, I won't be a worshiper here. If I'm not a worshiper in my car, I can't worship God here. It has to be a lifestyle. You have to be a worshiper. God's looking for worshipers. Some of them will worship him and not be ashamed to lift their hands and tell him how wonderful he is and adore him. God's looking for worshipers. He's attracted to worshipers. I want you to become attractive to God that he can't stop himself doing stuff for you. I want to bless you, falling over his feet to send an angel to you, to bless you, to prosper you. He wants to bless you. You can make yourself attractive to God. I hear you. Right. Then God is attracted to those that are walking righteousness. Let me talk to you about righteousness for a moment. We are righteous because of Christ. It's a wonderful gift. Because Christ died on the cross, we become righteous. We've been awarded or given righteousness. It's imparted to us. It's imparted. But we have a righteousness that's imputed to us. When we are credited with righteousness, Abraham was accredited or imputed in righteousness because of what he did. Now, as children of God, we are righteous because of Christ. But to give you an illustration of how you understand this, when I need a miracle, when I need a prayer breakthrough, I don't go to the guy in the church that I know is up and down and messed up. I look for someone that I know in the church has a clear relationship with the Lord. The evidence of their walk with God is so strong and clear. Jesus said, not Peter, not Paul, Jesus said in Matthew 10, receive a prophet as a prophet, get a prophet's reward. The next verse says, receive a righteous man as a righteous man, get a righteous man's reward. What is his reward? Her or his reward? The fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. There's extreme power with God and favor with God when you walk righteously. What does that mean? Sinlessly? No. Blamelessly? No. What it means is it's a lifestyle or attitude of heart and mind where you make choices all the time to do what's right before God. Not all things are sin, but not all things are beneficial. It becomes a lifestyle out of a relationship with God. When you love someone, you start making choices that you know will please them, or you won't do things that are uncomfortable for them. Even though it's not bad for you, that your husband or wife doesn't like that, you'll stop doing it because you love them. When you love the Lord, there are things you'll start changing, not because it's necessarily sin or bad, but because it's not pleasing or you want to please God more and more. And the more you live a life in the small practical ways, if you're driving your car and some idiot pulls in front of you and almost cuts you off the road, you want to get mad, and then you have a place of a choice whether you're going to be Christ-like and bless them and not get mad, because now you're making choices. Throughout your life, you have time to make. You know, Jesus said, if you only love those that love you, you've done nothing more than the world has done. So when you start making choices that are righteous, you start forgiving people that don't deserve it. You start blessing them and doing things to people that are absolutely wicked and do you harm. Jesus said, you are blessed when people persecute you for his righteousness' sake, and he commands us to do good to those that persecute us, to bless them. It's all so different for our minds to try and process, because we want to hurt people that are hurting us. That's the natural instinct of survival. But the way of Christ is so different. And when you choose righteousness, you start behaving in a different way. You start responding and checking your heart. You don't allow things in your heart that will pollute, like unforgiveness, like attitude. You want certain company of people that are gossipers or slanderers or talk negatively, because you know it's polluting your soul. You start making healthier choices. And when God sees you making those choices, he counts you more and more righteous. And so much so, if you become pursuing, you're hungry for him. And when people ask you to pray, you have such an anointing, such a power, such authority when you pray. And the devil knows it too. In fact, the devil knows how where you stand with God. There was some deceiver that used the formula that they saw in motion. They said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul serves, come out of him. And the devil says, I know Paul, I know Peter, Jesus, but who are you? And they jumped them and they hurt them. Because the devil knows if you really have a relationship with God. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So the more you walk with God, the more serious he's watching every day your choices. Our life is riddled with hundreds of choices a day. It started in the Garden of Eden. Satan deceived Eve. She fell into a deception. But Adam was not deceived. He was very sober when she offered him the fruit. And he could have not taken it. But I know he had to debate in his mind, if I take this fruit, I am going to endanger my relationship with God. If I don't take it, because she's taken it, I may be separated from her. So I had to choose between God and Eve. And he chose Eve. From that moment to this day, your life is riddled with choices. Every day. Every day your life is riddled with choices. And the way of the cross, the way of Christ, is different to anything your mind and this world understands. To do good for those who despitefully misuse you. To turn your cheek for those that slap you. To do good to all those around you. It's such a hard mind thing. It's your survival instinct wants to behave a certain way, and you're conditioned by different things you watch on TV. But the way of the cross, the way of Christ, is to be guilty even when you're innocent, to take blame that isn't even yours. The whole way of the cross, the way of the Lord, is very different, and that is true Christianity. There's nothing like it on the planet. Are you hearing me? And the world's looking for true Christians. God wants you to make those choices. When you make a choice, God will empower you. He'll give you the ability to do those things. You're too weak. Paul said, wretched man that I am, things that I ought to do, these I don't do. Things that I ought not to do, these I keep doing. I'm struggling. He understands that. God's not stressed by your weakness. What he dislikes is the wickedness, hard attitudes. When you're struggling with weaknesses, he's always willing to help you, always. He expects me to forgive my brethren 70 times 7 a day. If I'm forgiving him 70 times 7, I can expect God to forgive me at least that much. But you don't. You don't let God forgive you because you feel guilty, you keep falling. You can fall 70 times 7 a day and you'll still get forgiven each time you confess it. What kind of God do you serve? Let me tell you. There's no one like him. Hebrews 2 says, how shall we ever escape if we neglect such a salvation? How can we ever escape? It's the most amazing salvation. I breezed through this teaching very fast. I wanted you to get that as quick as I can inside your souls. I forgot to give the slide to you to put up there about we have an app called on your smartphone. Just type my name in correctly, Ed Trout, and you will find my app. I have a daily devotional on there. I write myself every day. And many other things about the prophetic and things and the nations and as the prophets all weighing in different things about that. You want to look up on your app. If you've got a smartphone, a dumb phone won't get it. Only a smartphone. Hallelujah. That's it to you. All right, let the games begin. Lock the doors, let no one leave. Thank you, Jesus. God is good, and the devil can really go to hell. None of you can go to hell. God's got your life in the palm of his hand. He knows you in from the beginning. He's so involved in your life. He's more concerned what's going on. Oh, okay. Why is that next to me? Okay. I thought I was using two microphones. Okay. I told you that? Did you do everything you told me? Okay. Let's go to the lights. All right. Thank you. Let's start with these three young people here with a brown jacket on and a good tan right here with the glasses. Do you mind standing so quickly? Do you mind? Yes, sir. And this is your wife next to you?
Yes.
All right. You knew that, didn't you? All right. Next to you is your son?
Yes.
Stand up, son. All right. Let me start there. What's your name, sir?
It's Keith.
Keith. Yes. And what's your name, young lady?
Tangela.
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 And your son's name is?
Michael.
Michael. And I call you Michael, or Michael?
Michael.
Okay, thank you for checking. How old are you, Michael?
I'm all right.
How old are you?
24.
24?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes,
you're much younger. So what do you do for a living, Keith?
I work in the mail room.
You work in the mail room?
Not the M-A-L-E, but the M-A-I-L.
Okay, to clear that up. Things the way things are now. So you're in the mail for the chip for the post office?
No, it's a pharmaceutical company. We send out all their information for different medications.
I got you. You have a wonderful anointing on your life. You were given to God. You should have been dead, but God rescued your life some time ago, and because you had a destiny on your life, and you've had so many unusual turns and different roads, and you kept following different leaders because you thought they had the goods. Now God has set you free of following anybody but obeying the Lord and being in a place because God put you there rather than following a person but following God. And you have a wonderful anointing and call on your God, of God on your life, and nothing will change it. God has called you, and this is a brand new day in your life, a new chapter. God has provided for you. You have to admit, you have to acknowledge God has provided for you in the most supernatural ways and done the most amazing things for you in your life. You've seen the hand of God. Someone in your family prayed an awful lot. There was a lot of war in earlier years in your family when you grew up, but one really stood out serving God and won enormous favor upon you and your household because of the prayers that God has given to you. So you need to know that you are blessed of God. You're where God wants you to put behind you what's behind you. It's a new chapter, brand new day. You need to forget what's behind you. As for you, my sister, you've cried enough tears. You've had enough losses. God says, I will be your comforter and your friend. You don't understand why God allowed that stuff. You did nothing wrong. You always walk with this guilt thing. From a young age, they always guilted you in everything. And here you are in this age in your life, and you're still walking with guilt. And I loose you this morning by the word of the Lord from every guilt, every nonsense. Lady, everywhere, everything you do is so unselfish and gracious. You're an amazing woman. This world is with you because you're here. You do a lot of good for a lot of people. You can't please them all, not even God can please them all. So you don't have to take it personally. But the favor of God is upon you as a sign to you that I speak the word of the Lord to you today. You've been struggling with something in your body physically, and when you leave this building, everything will go, and then God will heal you without the help of a doctor. God will heal you supernaturally, and you'll have to give the Lord a special healing. Michael, are you 23, 24?
24, yes.
And you're born again?
Born again.
Did you give your heart to Jesus yet?
Oh, yes, sir.
You did? Are you serving God right now? Are you serving the Lord right now?
Yes, sir.
Be because the devil's been bidding for your soul and wants to distract you. He has sent you all kinds of distractions. You've got a very kind heart. You've got a natural protective. You know, Revelation says we'll have new names in heaven, and the name assigned to your life in your heaven, your spiritual name, means protector. You have a natural instinct to want to protect people, but at the same time, you have an anger inside of you that rises up and wants to get almost violent and reactionary and explosive. And that comes from a frustration inside of you from a young age, and God wants to take control of that. You need to check the company you keep. The Bible says bad company will corrupt the good character. You've had some less than favorable friends in your life that keep pulling you down, keep influencing you, they lure you, and it's all good for a while, and they pull you right down. Now, God wants to fix your life. He wants to fix so many things, fix records, and fix so much paperwork that's been messed up. He wants to bring your whole life into a good place. And you're going to finish the education you started. You're going to finish the success that you got.
David.
David and Bathsheba. No.
Mary.
Mary? You're supposed to marry Joseph, not David. What Bible character?
I'm kidding.
How many children do you guys have?
When I'm married, courting.
Courting? Are you courting?
Yes.
Do you have children at all?
Yes. I have two, she has three.
So it's going to be a blended family?
Yes.
How long are you courting?
It's August.
How many?
Since August.
Last year, August.
Yeah.
9 months?
Yes.
Wow. How long is this courting going to go on?
November.
We have a date.
Yeah. November.
Did he ask you to marry me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And you said yes. So actually engaged. Good. You're the man. What do you do for a living?
I'm a safety director for a petroleum company.
You know, you've got a good heart, but you look impulsive. And you react way too fast to too many things, but you cool down so fast too. You've got a very kind, loving heart. You're very unselfish, but people have always pressed the wrong buttons in you. And then they get the wrong reactions, and they want to judge you for those reactions. It's a mistake. Now, God's teaching you to take control of it. You're not going to react anymore. Things will not happen those that way. But you're a go-get-em guy. For a man, you're very unusually multitask-orientated. You can do several things at the same time. It's not normal for a guy. Guys can't do that, but you can. In fact, if you're not doing several things at the time, it frustrates you. You get bored very quickly. Your brain's moving at 100 miles an hour. You've always got to do several. You can't watch a movie only. You have to do other things too at the same time. It's just your whole natural nature. My sister, you must be peaceful. It's one of calm, everything normal, and he's in a hurry, and you are so the opposite. He needs to warn you a day beforehand you're going to lunch, you know, because you just need time to get it all processed in your head. But your nature, and you're still carrying a lot of wounds from yesteryear, not even from your marriage, but from the time before that, your own childhood things, you've been through so much stuff, because you've always had the intention to bless and do. You've never had a lick of meanness or evil in you, and yet some people have misread and misused what in your life. In your own family, they haven't honored you, appreciated you, but the Lord celebrates you because you're a sweetheart. You've got a wonderful heart, you're very kind, and they tell you that you're not smart, but it's not that you're naive. Even to this day, you still believe people tell you, because you don't lie, you're not wicked. You don't, to the pure in heart, all things are pure. You don't see evil because it's not who you are. Don't you apologize for that. That's what makes you so attractive to God. He loves you because of your pure heart. Do you understand? He's telling me, whispering in my ear now to tell you, you did nothing wrong. This was not your fault. Do you understand? This was not your fault. You could stop that today. Don't you take responsibility. You didn't do it. This was an enemy came to steal and divide and destroy, and they did all the wicked things. But what they said, God wants to bless you. Now, he's a crazy man. I want to warn you, your life will never be quiet or dull. Forget that. You never know when you come home at night what's going to be happening. There's always something going on. He attracts people like bees to a hive. Their voices are buzzing around him. He's always got people motivated doing things. Now, here's the key for your life, sir. If you will learn, this is what the Lord says, if you'll learn to finish things you start, you'll prosper.
Amen.
Because you start so many things. But extremely good ideas and projects and go to the next new vision, but you don't finish things. You get halfway bored. You need to finish it, and God will bless it. Do you understand?
Amen.
All right. God's fixing something in your blood. There's been a little disorder, and God's fixing that. He's taking care of you health-wise, and I hope you have a wonderful wedding and a happy life together.
Amen.
Amen. with the pink top and the big earrings. Samantha, are you married, Samantha?
No.
Would you like to be?
Yes.
Just point and click. Have you heard of ChristianMingle.com? I wouldn't be using that if I was you, though. I think they lie too much. They use their school photographs and things like that. So, what do you do for a living?
Right now, I have a business. I run a nail salon, and I also was just promoted to a TCC tech support.
Are you in this church?
Yes, I am.
This is the word of the Lord for you. You've got to leave behind you what's behind you. You're having a hard time letting go of your past and disappointments.
Okay.
It's been a pattern of your life, it's a disappointment. You've always tried to hope and put things together, and you just can't shake some things off. You don't know what you did wrong. And the devil's come to steal, divide, and destroy. And you've reached a chapter in your life that it's important for you to shake off your past. God wants to bless you. There's someone you haven't let go of, that you can never have someone new until you let go of that person. You just don't get it. You say you'll never love again. Oh, no, you will. Sure as I live and breathe, you will love more than you did before. You're better. It'll all be better. It's going to be God's way and God's time. Do you understand? You're very smart. You're very discerning. People underestimate you, except when it comes to choosing guys. You always seem to have the bad guy that seems to be in your life. Always the bad guy, always the crook. And I'm loosening you from that attraction today. God wants to prosper you. You have been a generous woman to so many people in your life. You've blessed many people. You're a fragrance of joy to the Lord. Do you understand? If you'd like to go back and change things, forget it. God's making good company. Right? New day. Thanks to the Lord. You're up on the stage singing, right? What's your name? That's not me making that noise, right? No. What's your name?
Kirsty.
How old are you, Kirsty?
I'm 24.
24 years old. What do you want to do with your life? What kind of career are you looking towards?
I had a career. I just moved from England, so I had a career back there as
what?
A buyer.
As a buyer. Did you go to university and study?
Yes, I
did. You finish? Because I don't think you finished studying completely. There's another course, another specialized part. What you're going to do is going to open up doors that will be revolutionary. You're very smart, you're very stubborn, very strong-willed, and all of that's an asset because it's going to make you not give up. You just don't know how to surrender and give up. And people don't intimidate you, you'll just keep going, no matter how difficult the situation is, and that's what God's got planned for you. He's got high executive plans for you in this nation, and I hear the words in New York a lot in your life. So God's got some amazing plans for you, but you're not finished. You're going to qualify in the specialized arena. It's not a four-year course. It's a very short but very intense, and it's going to just put you in a level that you need to be because you are smart. You're very smart, very strong-willed, and people underestimate you because they think you give up too easily. You don't give up ever. You just keep going. That stubbornness is a strength in you, not a weakness, because you'll just keep going, and you won't let people tell you how it should be. And you're very smart when it comes to relationships. You know, people can't pull the wool over your eyes. You're way too sharp. In fact, you lean a little more to the mistrusting before you even begin. And God's teaching you to be discerning and not become suspicious. Let the Lord be your strength and your shield. But you right where God wants you to be, in lots of doubts in your mind, whether you are, you right where God wants you to be, just be at peace. It's a real change from where you come from. Even the English couldn't get saved. Who knew? Who knew? Jesus, you bald yet?
No.
Are you sure?
Amen.
What's your name with a bald head?
Come on.
Well, it's shaving. Well, good haircut. Wash and wear. What's your name?
It's not Xavier. Shane.
Shane. Don't go, Shane. Is this your wife next to you, holding on to you?
I'm a girlfriend.
Girlfriend. And are you getting married or not? They get you married. You're dating.
It's planned in the future.
How long have you been dating?
A little over a year and a half.
What, are you waiting for the rapture? You know we have a use by date, don't you know that?
Yeah.
We have an expiration date, all of us, used by, this is the standard. Okay, so what do you do for the young lady? What's your name?
My name is Leah. I work with online radio streaming and digital advertising.
Okay, are you in this church?
Yeah.
Now you've got to let go of a lot of stuff in your life. You've got so many aspirations. You've got a lot of, not ambition, but a lot of vision inside of you. You do a lot of stuff. You don't always want to do the bigger things. Since as a little girl, you didn't take this low line. You always wanted to go. Your girlfriends didn't have big visions. You always had vision inside of you. And God will bless it. You've had a real few bumps in the road when it comes to relationships, but God's got good plans for you if you'll just follow Him. God's not mad at you. Some of your own family has been estranged to you to a certain extent, and God wants to heal that. The Lord's on your side. Who could possibly be against you, the scripture says? God is for you. Do you understand? He loves you. He's making things work together for good. As for you, sir, God wants a complete surrender of your life to Him. You're extremely talented, and none of those talents have been used yet. Not one. It's a waste. God's got great plans for you. Someone prayed for you when you were a young boy, and gave you to God, and that's why you've been alive, because you should have been dead. The devil had tried to take you out as a kid, but God had you as hand mop heavy on you, and you kind of put a neat wall around yourself. You don't trust anybody. You expect people to always do you in, but God has a plan for your life. Do you understand? Very important. You've got to be surrendered to Him and trust Him. You trust nobody. You let God be your Lord in every area, and He loves you. He's got such a plan for you. Very talented. There's many arenas, many avenues of talent that you have. In every, even in the music, you have all kinds of abilities in every arena, even in business. God's got plans for your life. You just didn't see it yet. But when you start seeing it, what God can do through you, you will embrace it and do great things. Do you understand? All right. You've got to let go. Someone burned you before you met her. Someone burned you. You've got to let go of that thing. It's getting old now. And you're expecting people to disappoint you. You've got to shake it off because God's your source, not man. Got it? All right. How long do I have for
it?
Yeah, I want a reading, a Holy Ghost reading. That's where the reading comes from, is a copy of the real thing. Everything's a counterfeit.
That's right.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
So what's your name with the hair? Lady with the hair. Yes. Rachel! Rachel, are you married, Rachel? Oh, Daniel, thank you for marrying Daniel. It was a dirty job, but somebody had to do it. Rachel, your time has come. Your day has come. You've always been in the background, a helper, and you've always not been unnoticed. But your time has come as to be a spiritual leader, too. There are a lot of changes coming in effect the next year or two in your lives. It's part of God's plan. Some dramatic blessings. All the years you've sowed and spent yourself and not been noticed, it's all changing now. God has some major breakthroughs for you. It's going to be suddenly. God doesn't move fast. He doesn't move suddenly, though. Be warned. All of a sudden, one day to the next, things will change. And God's hands on Daniel, there's no question. He has an amazing call of God on him to go get him, guy. And so you're a powerful lady, too. Not just a Daniel's wife. You have your own right. Tremendous ability, strong discernment, and see things in the spirit. And you've been quiet for years, but you see things, you understand things. You have a lot to give and share, and God will bless us. There's one family member that you petition the Lord for frequently. God has heard your prayers. You can come to a place of rest in your heart and start thanking Him for the outcome already because He heard your prayers. Thank you, Rachel. Daniel, she must have thought you had money or something. Whatever that was, right? Hallelujah. What's your name with the, is it braided hair? Well, how would you call it? Long fellow with blonde beard, black shirt? Dude. Weston. And next to you is your lovely?
This is
Melissa. Is she?
She doesn't know it yet.
She's a friend, and she's a girl. Are you guys dating?
We are two people who
that's just,
are letting God and Jesus do their work in us.
That'll work for me. What is your name?
Weston.
And what's your last name?
Cartwright.
Cartwright. Wow. Like the How old are you, Mr. Cartwright?
29.
Wow, and holding.
Sure.
Yeah. As you hit that big three, everything goes downhill after that.
Yeah, it's better.
What do you do for a living?
The next green pasture, follow God.
What do you work for?
What do you have next for me?
How do you earn money?
I have several sources of income. I have a cousin. Okay. I work in lighting. I work in boat detailing.
Okay. What I really appreciate about you is the integrity of your heart. You'll never put on something that's not real. You'll never say something that's not real. You're very true. And you've had to walk a very lonely road. You weren't alone, but you walked a lonely road because you had no one to share your inmost heart and thoughts with. Because you learned as a young boy to keep it all in and not share who you are, because it wasn't always acceptable. There was so much a demand of what you're supposed to be, what they think you're supposed to be, and what they wanted from you, and what you became is very different from where you are. But what they don't know is you are an amazing prince on the inside. There's such qualities inside of you which are so real. And you're looking, for truth. Your heart yearns for truth and reality. And that's what you want. You just want the real thing. You can't stand phony. And that's why you gravitated towards the worst of people in years gone by, because that's where at least you found better. But your heart's hungering for more. And God's responding to you because He wants to do stuff for you. And I know it's a very strange thing to tell you, but there's no question in my mind that God put His finger on you to win the lost, to bring a lot of people to Christ. You have an incredible destiny to change lives. Not the people that everybody wants to go to, because you have no fear to go to down and outs and to tell it like it is. And you have such an anointing, such an ability to win the lost. That's your destiny. You are not here by accident today. God has marked you very clearly for His purpose and plan. You belong to a great plan for God. Do you understand? And your life that's been so unusual had none of it satisfied you. God let you run the race the way you wanted to until you got tired of it, until you start looking for the real thing. Because your heart wants real, and you're going to find God so powerfully, so real, that you can't keep it yourself. You won't have to become anything you don't like, just be yourself. That's what God will do the best. It's that simple. As for you, ma'am, what's your name?
Melissa.
Melissa. You've got to leave the tragedy and sorrows behind you. You come through a lot of deep valleys, none of which you brought upon yourself. A lot of us do stupid things and make bad decisions and poor stuff. You were always looking for happiness and for simplicity. You never asked for a lot. Your friends wanted success and wealth, and you just wanted simplicity. You never asked for a lot. One disappointment, one tragedy after another. And you carry this heaviness of grief on your soul because you lost someone that you loved so much. And as I speak with you, the Lord's put His arms around you and comforting you because He is the comforter. No one can comfort you like the Lord. And He wants you to know you didn't deserve this. Keep telling yourself you deserve this. You didn't. It's not true. It's not true. But God will do good things for you and bless you and pick you up and do great things. He loves you too much to leave you alone. Do you understand? This is a brand new chapter of your lives. His mind's working 100 miles an hour now. He's processing all that stuff. He's thinking. But the two of you are going to be a great blessing to other people's lives. You're a sweetheart. You're a sweetheart. There's a relationship that's been estranged to you in your own family that no matter how hard you try, it just cannot reconcile well. So everything you do is wrong. God's going to heal that by His Spirit very soon as a sign to you of His great greatness. Hallelujah! What's your name? The red shirt back there. Red shirt and... Yeah, you've got a red shirt on, right? Yeah, yeah. Burgundy. Dude, what's your name?
My name is Colbert.
What's your name? Cole?
Nick Cobra, like Nick,
oh, Nick
Cobra Snake.
Nick. Thank you, Cobra Snake. Thank you. Thank you. And this lady next to you is your
girlfriend.
Did you know that, ma'am? Your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Do you have a name?
Paula.
Paula and Nick. And you guys, yeah?
Yeah.
You guys in this church?
It's my second time. He's been coming more often than I.
Paul, I want to apologize to you on behalf of many people that did you wrong from a young age and people that read you wrong. They always seem to misread you and your intentions because you really have, talking to you,
oh.
Talking to you, ma'am, So people have not always treated you right since a young girl. They misread you and judge you wrongly. In fact, that's the pattern in your life. People judge you. They don't know your heart. You always try to do what's right. You always try to do what's right, and you have such a low self-esteem from a young age, and all your love and all your self pouring out to so many things. Yet you made mistakes. You did. Welcome to the club. We all made mistakes. But the Lord loves you too much to let this continue in your life because you're too precious. What's so amazing about you is you have a very generous heart. You always want to help people, and you'll go to an extent to bless people. You've actually been kind to those that did wrong to you and your family. You've still been back and helped them and did things for them. And God saw that. There is someone that you've lost along the way that you don't know how to find them. And God says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be your research. I'm going to find a way for you to find them. I'm going to open up all those channels and doors, and I'm going to fix your life because I love you too much. There was a time that you thought you had nothing to live for, but suicide is not your way at all, not at all. And you're going to help a lot of people that have got all kinds of ideas. You're going to walk with them and pick them up and do great things for them because that's your destiny. It's who you are. You're an amazing lady, whether you know it or not. Whether you know or not. Poverty and a spirit of lack has followed you for a long time. No matter how much you earn, there's always something going on. And God wants to break that spirit and bring finance your way. He's clearing some false accusations against you, and even some files that have been legally against you. God's going to fix that stuff and clear it all because He's the one that redoes and revamps your life completely. As for you, Mr. Nick, interesting man you are. You try to survive growing up. Just find a way. Always at a Find a way. It seemed like no one looked out for you. You didn't look out for yourself. But there was always someone that loved you in the background. Always God raised up someone to show you kindness and love. And you need to take it seriously because God's always been tended towards you. He's got plans for your life. There's no question. You've got to fix those things that are wrong. You've got to fix them. You can't keep doing those things. You can't keep leave those things laying the way they are. You've got to fix them. You've got a good heart. You have a good heart. You don't fool God. God looks on the inside. He knows your heart. He knows that you want to do what's right, but ever hard you tried, it was always never good enough. So you just took the bad road anyway. And God says, Nick, it's time to change that. Shake it off, because I've got plans for you. You're very smart, and the favor of God's upon your life, and God's restoring what's lost in your family, restoring through you, and fixing things, and rebuilding those walls. And there's been such a lot of war and devastation in your life, in your family, but God's going to fix it all by His Spirit. He loves you too much to leave the things the way they are. He's got your back, Nick. He's got your back. As a sign to you, there's a financial release for the next couple of weeks that you just could not get. And how you tried, you filled the forms, and everything right, you took care of it. They won't give you what's right for yours. God says, I'm making to you what's right for yours. I'm making. Watch me. It's a sign to you that I'm with you. I will not forsake you. What's your name with the black shirt, nose, eyes, earrings? What's your name? This one here with the gauges and.
Oh. I go by Santiago.
Santiago?
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Oh, my first name is Edgardo, but
Ricardo?
Your first name? Edgardo.
Edgardo. And this is your lovely
girlfriend, Cece.
Cece. Is that your name or is it initials?
My initials is Concepcion, but Cece is easier to pronounce for most people.
Okay. And so you boyfriend and girlfriend, how long?
About 2 years.
What do you do for a living, sir?
Multiple things. Manager at CBS, and also work at Advanced Auto Parts. Also have a career choice right now for a CDL truck job.
You're very smart. You know, your brain is like brand new and unused. Extremely high-end brain. You're brilliant. And you just didn't use. You weren't wise, but you were brilliant. It's a young boy. And it's not too late to use your smarts. And if you put God really first in your life, let Him lead you, because you didn't have the dad you were supposed to have, really, but God will be your dad to you. He'll let Him be your father, and He will guide you, and He'll bring great success. It's God's plan to have your own business, because you're very smart with so many things. I see things at the coast, and I see things in the electronic store, I see several things that you're very talented in, that God would like to use for His glory. And here's the thing, you've got to choose your friends wisely. Your friends have betrayed you. Let you down. When it comes to money, they disappear. So you need to be wise. Don't need partners. You need just the Lord to help you because you are smart. And you don't have to need much to start with. God's going to help you. But He wants all of your life. He wants you to be put in first. That's what he wants from you. You understand?
What would be the first step?
Yeah. To give your heart to Jesus. That's the very first step. To make sure you belong to the Lord. That's the very first step. But he wants to prosper you. I mean, seriously. Seriously. As for the young lady, God wants to dry your tears. There's no question you've had difficulties behind you. You try to accept him as a way of life, but it's not God's plan for you to suffer. Not God's plan for you to have hardship. All he's telling me now is telling you there was no mistake when you were born. It was a happy day when you were born, girl. The whole of heaven rejoiced because you have such a destiny on you. You had a horrible childhood, but I'm telling you from God that all the devil tried to stop you with is going to make you the princess that you're going to be and touch lives and just be fantastic. You have music on the inside of you that no one can stop. God will use for his glory and touch lives and bring healing to a lot of people. God's restoring your family. He's restoring the whole family by his supernatural power. God has not forgotten about you. Your desire to look for him, to know him, you're on the right path. Just keep going, okay? Just keep going, guys. You're on the right path. Even being here today is a wonderful thing that you're doing there. You guys are too excited. You need to take it down a notch or so. I've got the Holy Ghost leading to who I'm supposed to speak up, but everybody needs a word. It's just the way life is, but I'm trying to let the Holy Ghost lead you. And if you don't get a word, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you or like you. It just means that other people have bigger needs, right? Is that okay? Yeah. Not.
We all.
I'm going to stay for a few days, if you say, right? What is your name? Yeah.
Dolores.
Dolores Ben-Partier. What do you do, Dolores? You're a legal administrator.
And a mother of a litter of children.
Yeah. A litter of children. A litter. That's unusual. Here's the deal. You try to fix everything all the time, and it's just too much for you sometimes. But your greatest gifting is to pray and to call upon the Lord. He does hear your prayers. And he says, I must remind you how many times when you had no way out, no solution, God helped you every time. Just all you do is ask him. Just call upon him. You don't have it, you don't ask. You've got to make it a lifestyle of prayer and ask for God. One of your children's going to have great success. The one that seemed to be just one struggle after another. No one saw any future for that child. Watch how God's going to open up doors that no man can shut and bless them overnight. Amazing what God's got planned for you. And it's not all your burden. God never asked you to carry the world. You carry everybody's burden. It's not God's plan for you. You've got to do what the Lord's called you. Right where he wants you. He's pleased with you. There's a lot of changes coming, the retirement, all kinds of things are happening in your life. It's a new season, right? Pass it on to, what's your name?
Jacqueline. Yes.
Are you in this church?
I am.
You like it here?
I love it.
That's good. You married?
No.
God's drying your tears. You've had such a lot of grieving in your life. You haven't let go of what shoulda, woulda, coulda. Keep thinking you missed out. No, God makes it all work together for good. You just let him. He's got good plans for you. Your life's not over. You don't stop living because some of the things changed. You've got to trust God. He knew before you got here what you'd be going through. He's got a plan. I see you moving into another home of some kind that God's providing for you. He's providing a brand new open door for you. He's not forgotten about you. He's your provider. What's your name?
Catherine.
Catherine, you sang, didn't you? Mm-hmm. And you lost a child. You said, how old was your child you lost?
He was 19.
That's terrible. It's very hard to bury a child. I can't even imagine what it feels like to bury a child with a car wreck. What was it?
Yes, this is my daughter.
She says, she's lovely. Wow. Dude, you're so blessed. This is going to be successful. You can look forward to that.
Yes.
Success in him. Ma'am, you're a go-getter. You're a firefighter. You know to fight the fires and come against anything that's difficult. You don't give it up. It's just not your nature to get up. You can throw a fit now. Oh, Lordy. You can go from 0 to 110 seconds. But you always fight back, and you always look for what's right, and you have a great, you love truth, you have compassion for what's right. You can't stand lies and deceit. You want people just to tell you like it is, so you know what you're fighting, and that's who you are. You've got an integrous heart. I don't know what you do for a living, but God's going to keep prospering you. Girl, you are going to do so well. What you saw is a tragedy. God, dry the brook up and stop the rain, to send you to the widow's house to prosper you. You never knew you had it in you. You can go. If you only knew years ago, you would have been so much further along, but God's going to make up for all the time that was lost because you've got fire in your soul. And you're going to make it. Take it. You don't take no for an answer. No matter how many times the car breaks or how many things go wrong, you're going to keep getting up and fighting back, and that's who you are. And that success will go into all your children and your children's children's. God's blessing upon your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The anointing stops, I must stop. So I'm going to quit now, but I would like to come back with you. Come back, please, sometime soon and prophesy some more. Come on, who's going to do the... I'll go to altar call. Okay. Please close your eyes and bow your head for God. Thank you for reminding me. Close your eyes and bow your heads, please. It is the most important thing in your life to be right with God. And I want to pray for someone or anyone that has wants me to pray for them to give their heart to Jesus. It takes guts to be a Christian. If you know that your life's not right with God, that if you came tonight, you'd not be ready, raise your hands and I'm going to pray for you now. So say, yes, Ed, I'm not right with God. I'm not born again. I'm not a child of God yet, but I want to be. I see one hand up. Anybody else? One hand has gone up. 2, 3. Anybody else? 4. Yeah, 4 hands have gone up. Anybody else? Quickly, please. Now, I'm going to embarrass you. I want to ask you to stand. Just 4 hands have gone up. Thank you. Put them down again. Thank you. All right. Now, I want you all to pray with me loud to help those that put their hands up. Pray loud together now. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. And I ask you to wash me in the blood that you shed in Calvary for me. Come into my heart and into my life and be Lord and Master of my life. I give you my life now and receive you as my Savior in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Father, I pray for those 4 hands and those that wanted to put their hands up. As they prayed that prayer, it will become a reality to them. I ask the Holy Spirit to make them so aware of you day and night that the work that you've begun today, you will complete. Lord, that salvation that they know, that they know that they know that their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray in the name of Jesus. I give you glory for it. Amen.
Amen. The angels are rejoicing when someone gets saved, and so there are. We have people in our church that are salvation team, and they would like to come and just talk to you afterwards. You know, if you go after the service is over, would mind just stand in your seat if someone saw you raise your hand, and that we would like to just come and pray with you and just talk to you for a bit if you'd like. So, did anyone have fun today? So blessed to have Prophet Ed. When was the last time you were here? Like a year ago. That's too long. That's way too long. Sorry. But I just want to read some scriptures for you guys because now I'm taking the offering for Prophet Ed. How many knows that he is busy? You're gone, like you said earlier, that you're hardly ever home on the weekend. You're traveling nonstop. You go to Europe, you go to South Africa, you're in the States a lot. So I just want to give a scripture tonight or today. There's Monique, it's still the lights are down here. Jesus said in Luke 11:49 that through the wisdom of God that he would send us prophets and apostles. And he sent us a prophet today, right? It also said, Prophet Ed, you mentioned the scripture earlier, it said in Matthew 10:41 that in the Amplified Version, it says that he who receives and welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. He talked about the righteous man's reward, but I want to talk about the prophet's reward today. And if you read that in the Amplified Version, it's very simple. They're talking about welcoming and receiving a prophet. I grew up in the South, Kentucky. My mother had 9 children. We grew up on a big farm in the heart of Kentucky. So I grew up with a hospitable mother. My mother knew about hospitality in the South. And so when we would have a relative come over, whether we wanted them to come over or not. Most of the time we loved our relatives, some were annoying. But anyway, it was clean the house from top to the bottom. We had an old farmhouse. Top to the bottom, go kill the fatted chickens, you know, I'm not lying, that's how we did it. You go kill the chickens, we're gonna cook the chickens up, clean all the vegetables out of the garden because we're gonna cook all those up too. And then make sure the house smelled nice and everything. And so we'd have our relatives come over and that was hospitality, that's how I knew that. So part of that gift was given to me as for my mother to me. And so I like to have everything nice when the guest comes. I like to have the linens washed, the towels made clean, and the best food on the table. And so how many know that to do that, that takes that takes a little bit of money, right? So you know that all of the coming together here today was a little bit of expense. But let me just talk about, are we a hospitable church today? Do we consider ourselves hospitable when we have a guest come in? Yes, we are a hospitable church. What about the prophet's reward? It talks about you receive them and you welcome a prophet into your home or your church, you receive a prophet's reward. So the prophet's reward, I'm going to read in 2 Kings 4, 17. There was, in the Message version, there was, let me just read it. Can I get my phone, Tom? Is that on the, oh, you're amazing. Daniel, thank you. In 2 Kings, I just want to read 4, 8, 32 through, I'm sorry, 4, what am I reading here? 8 through 17, thank you. Which talks about a Shunammite woman, and she met a prophet. His name was Elisha. It says, one day Elisha passed through Shunam. A leading lady of the town talked him into stopping for a meal, and then it became his custom. Whenever he passed through, he stopped by for a meal. I'm certain, said the woman to her husband, that this man who stops by with us all the time is a holy man of God, and why don't we add a small room upstairs and furnish it with a bed and desk, chair and a lamp, so that when he comes to stay with us. And it so happened that the next time Elisha came by, that he went to the room that she had built and lay down for a nap. Then he said to the servant Gehazi, tell the Shunammite woman I want to see her. And he called her, and she came to him. Through Gehazi, Elisha said, you've gone far beyond the call of duty. Take care of us. What can we do for you? Do you have a certain request that we can bring to the king or to the commander of the army? She replied, nothing. I'm secure and satisfied in my family. Elisha conferred with Gehazi. There's got to be something we can do for her. But what? Gehazi said. Well, she has no son, and her husband is an old man. Call her in, said Elisha. And he called her, and she stood at the open door. Elisha said to her, this time next year, you're going to be nursing an infant son. Oh, master, oh, holy man, she said, don't play games with me and teasing me with such fantasies. And the woman conceived a year later, just as Elisha had said. She had a son. So that's a cool prophet reward, right? But that didn't stop there. She received another prophet's reward. Later on, when her son was a teenager, he had a heat stroke while working with his dad in the field, and he died. And so the Shunammite woman, she picked him up. She took him to the prophet's room that she had built for him. She put him on the bed, and then 2 Kings 4:32, the NIV version, says, when Elisha reached the house, because the Shunammite woman, she went and found him, and she brought him back to her house. She said, I'm not going to leave you until you come back to the house with me. And when Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in and shut the door on the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he got up on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hand to hand. As he stretched himself out to him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and they got on the bed and stretched out once more. The boy seized seven times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite, and he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, worshipped him, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went home. That's a prophet's reward. And when we put ourselves in being welcoming, and we expect to be a welcome to him, whatever we get receive from him, we receive that prophet's reward. And so I believe that we are all called to be hospitable, right? That's what Jesus was. Jesus, you know, loving, caring, concerned about others' needs. I mean, Prophet Ed goes, and it costs money to house this building here, to fly Ed in, to put him in a hotel, to feed him. We are going to feed you today. To feed him, to meet his needs. And so I know that we've been in this church for 18 years, and Steve and Jill, whenever a guest comes in, their comments are always like, wow, you know, they show them. They make sure they're taken care of. They are not stingy, and they are generous. They are generous people. And so we are known as a generous church when it comes to hosting a guest. And how much more to host a prophet and receive a prophet's reward? Come on, guys. That's really good. I mean, it's an opportunity. And so please prepare your gift. And I know the ushers will be coming around with us too, but before that, I was listening to whoever got a word today. You guys, I mean, that's just powerful. Tom and I were listening to it. We found a cassette tape It was dated 1999. It was probably one of the first times the Prophet Ed had been at our church, when it was at, when Pastor Steve and Jill first came to South Africa. And we found a cassette tape player, which is hard to do. It was in my car, actually, but we played it a couple days ago. And I was like, oh my gosh. But anyway, this was 18 years ago. I was listening to this CD, or not a reel-to-reel, but it was a little cassette tape. One that old. And it said, he started prophesying over Tom, then he prophesied over myself. And it just brought tears to my eyes. And there was something, he was prophesying about my health, about my bones, that my bones would always be strong. And the devil's been lying to me, probably about the last year, about my bones. When I heard that, I was like, that was 18 years ago that he prophesied. And so that just rolled in my head, just thinking, I have that word of the Lord. And he is a verified prophet. If anybody would doubt that, I think you're... Anyway, whatever. But there's no way to doubt. There is no doubt that he is verified, speaking oracles from the Lord. So whatever your word, and even if you have a word that you received years ago or last year, always play it. Always write it down and listen to it. It's powerful. It's spoken for you from God for a special time in your life. And so anyway, get your offering ready. Our usher's going to come, but before that we have ways to get envelopes and the seats. There's lots of them. Online, text giving, that's a good way to do. That's really handy. And mail or courier pigeon. Make your checks at the CFC. And then we'll give one offering to Ed at the end. Now we're going to do his life. Yes, don't forget the prophetic life. This is his app. Ed. Okay. Everybody can load that up. That's free, right? Probably Ed. Waiting to encourage every single day. Are you kidding me? That's great. You know who? My son, Abel, he loves your devotions. He's listening to your devotions in college. So we're going to ushers. I think we're going to do a video first for the 4th of July, and then the ushers are going to come through. Then we'll dismiss after the video.
While the video is playing, we'll be taking the offering.
While the video is playing, we'll be collecting our offering. Thank you.
Receiving.
Receiving, not collecting.
Thank you.
might be a people under your praise and glory. Father, we know that you've prospered America, that you have blessed America, taken us through challenges, had us overcome, all because of your amazing grace. So, Father, I thank you that we are able to remember this and celebrate it. So, for everyone here today, Lord, I thank you that you remind them, Holy Spirit, of the goodness of this land and the goodness that you have brought here in this land. And, Lord, that you continue to cover us, Lord, protect us. Lord, we are uncompromisingly a Christian nation. And, Lord, establish us in our minds to know that. I thank you for blessing the families that are together and the celebrations over this weekend. But most of all, we want to thank you for being part of this great nation that you've brought forth, Lord. God bless America, and God bless everything that you are planning ahead for us, too. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't forget, next week, the meeting. Dealing with discouragement. I call it defeating depression. I'm saying that. But you deal with discouragement, you will defeat depression. So God bless you. Have a great week. We love you. Come back next Sunday and we'll see you then. Bring somebody to church with you that needs to hear that word. We all do.
That's true.